Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
High above the milk packing district, in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson, alongside Dawn Taylor, who is, even now, as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Egypt's president is probably stepping down right this minute. A man is killed in North Portland by falling beer kegs, and a congressional representative resigns over shirtless Craigslist photos.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, possibly not shocked at all, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed! For this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Thursday, February 10th, 2011. After 17 days of demonstrations, protesters in Egypt are closer than ever to toppling the government. President Hosni Mubarak will most probably address the nation in coming hours. And could step down as soon as this evening, the Secretary General of Egypt's National Democratic Party tells the BBC. In fact, on CNN at this moment, something like 3 hours ago, they said that President Mubarak was headed for Tahrir Square. But then, as I mentioned just a moment ago before I came on the air, it's CNN's live blog of what's going on. And it hasn't been updated in almost 3 hours.
Sort of, if you're grading on a generous curve, it's live.
Yeah, so he may have stepped down. He might not have. He may have told everyone he was giving out candy. We really don't know at this moment.
Might have changed his mind 5 or 6 times by now.
Might have announced he was getting a sex change operation. Anything could have happened. Al Jazeera reports that the Supreme Council of Egyptian Armed Forces has convened to discuss Mubarak's future, and the Associated Press says that a senior army commander has told Egyptian protesters that all their demands will be met.
They can't end this story right now because I still haven't figured out a way to use some sort of a Egypt me out of my vote sort of a joke.
I'm sure you'll have plenty of opportunities in the future.
I suppose.
Protest leader and Google executive Wael Ghonam tweeted, "Mission accomplished, thanks to all the brave young Egyptians."
I don't understand. He's a protest leader and a Google executive.
Yes.
Oh, like Google Egypt, not Google here. I wondered if he was leading the protest via Skype or something. Is that like Google.eg or something?
No, it just said Google executive. If you go to his Twitter page, there's a picture of a guy wearing an Egyptian headdress sitting cross-legged with a MacBook in his lap. It's a cartoon.
Are you sure that it's not just some guy? Are you sure it's not like an MIT student who's just punking you?
No, that was him. That was Wael Ghonam.
Okay.
So a communique to that effect is expected to be issued shortly. Britain's Channel 4 News hears that Mubarak will transfer power to Vice President Omar Suleiman in a broadcast this evening, although rumors are swirling he may also hand power to the army. If that happens, it's unclear whether Mubarak will stay in the country or if martial law will be imposed to clear out the demonstrators.
Excellent. Martial law will be my porn name at some point in the future. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Thursday, February 10th, 2011. Coming up later on this hour, we got your entertainment news, also Science on the March. Don't forget, if you want to get this program later on the day via iTunes, you can do that. It's also available as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com, here being Cascadia.fm or at legionofnews.com. It's also available on your mobile device. It is mobile.cascadia.fm. That is mobile.cascadia.fm. Here is Don Taylor.
And speaking of all of the kerfuffle in Egypt, President Barack Obama spoke briefly about the situation during remarks to a crowd in Marquette, Michigan.
I'm sorry, did you say that President Jim J. Bullock spoke before a crowd?
No, President Barack Obama.
Okay, I always make that mistake.
Also known as Mr. Obama or President Obama.
Or that guy.
Sometimes just Obama.
No, it wasn't that guy. What did McCain call him? That one.
That one.
That's right.
Mr. Obama said, it's clear we're witnessing history in the making.
We want to invest in the next generation of high-speed wireless coverage.
That's not it. We want Egypt, Egypt 01.
All the Obama cuts look alike, Don.
Oh.
No, because they've all got the same prefix over here. Yeah.
We want those young people and we want all Egyptians to know America will continue to do everything that we can to support an orderly and genuine transition to democracy in Egypt.
Teleprompter fail.
Yes. Obama said America will continue to support an orderly and genuine transition to democracy in Egypt.
Does that imply that we have been supporting a so-called orderly and smooth transition to democracy now? That's what the last few weeks have been?
Well, I think
what happens when they get really pissed off over there?
I think as we've seen from the situation in, say, Iraq, we're really, really good at orderly transitions to democracy. It's what we excel at.
Apparently, the first step of that is always just bombing everything into kibbles and bits.
We are following today's events in Egypt very closely. And we'll have more to say as this plays out. But what is absolutely clear is that we are witnessing history unfold.
Okay. That's the sort of thing you say when you're waiting to see like which side of any sort of imbroglio ends up victorious, so you know exactly who to back. Because you get behind the wrong horse, then suddenly then you get a bunch of then Dan Rather's on TV going like it's day 442. So you don't want to do that.
Oh, and I guess I was wrong about the CNN thing. I forgot that they're on East Coast time. So they actually are updating the live blog. I'm kind of a moron that way. I think everything is my time because, Portland is the center of the universe. Anyway, protesters are awaiting the scheduled announcement right now. And it has just been updated on CNN. The chance of down Hosni Mubarak fill the square. So yes.
Here's the thing about CNN, though, and news organizations like that in general, is you really can't trust the thing that says live. Because if you tune into, I think Fox News is the same way, and so is MSNBC. If you tune into, after midnight or so, you will still see the little thing in the upper right-hand corner where that says live, even if it's something that I myself saw earlier in the evening. They just sort of, I guess there is, not like I really care, but it is no law apparently saying that that a news organization must actually be doing something live to label it live. And so it is...
You think that there would be some sort of standards and practices thing about that?
I would think it would actually... it seems like one of those things that the FCC would be putting their pig-like little paws into. No, the FCC doesn't have pig-like little paws because pigs don't have paws. Pigs have hooves.
That's right.
They would be...
pig-like little hooves they would be putting on them. It wouldn't be very efficient because they don't have thumbs or any way of grasping.
And there's no verb that I can make out of hoof. Well, in any event,
hooving.
But occasionally I'll tune into something and I'll see it on CNN at 8 p.m. or whatever, and then it's on again at 2, and it's got the live thing. And if you didn't know any better, you would have no idea. Then CNN, especially, they will switch to this thing at around 3 or 4 a.m. if you're watching, as I always am, where it's just some sort of a cable access thing, but it's like CNN International. And you get the feeling that it really is like the Daily Show correspondence, how there's Jon Stewart here and the guy who's like, John, I'm reporting to you from the White House. And he's really a foot and a half away in front of a bad, bad green screen. That's what the CNN International desk looks like. I swear to God, it's just coming out of a broom closet, down the hall or something. So, in any event, we'll continue to follow the story as it unfolds. Here is Don Taylor.
Clackamas County deputies say an alcohol-fueled argument became violent when one man stabbed another inside a Wilsonville mobile home. The fight happened about 11 p.m. Wednesday in the Walnut Mobile Home Park, just off Southwest Boone's Ferry Road. Investigators said it started with a disagreement between two homeless men who often sleep there.
Wait a minute. How is it a Wilsonville mobile home if it was in Clackamas?
Clackamas County.
All right. What?
I don't know. Isn't Wilsonville in Clackamas County?
Never mind. You know, I realized I was going to open my mouth and I was going to weigh in on something that involved a sense of direction and geographic relativity.
Well, here's what I know. The dateline on this story is Wilsonville, Oregon.
Okay.
And it starts Clackamas County deputies.
Okay,
so,
all right.
I'm just saying. The victim was taken to OHSU while the suspect, 30-year-old James Jason Carrion, was taken into custody. As of this morning, Carrion had not yet been formally arrested on a criminal charge. Deputies didn't specify what type of weapon was used, but the weapon was found inside the mobile home. Deputies say there were two other men sleeping inside the mobile home when the fight broke out. They cooperated with the investigation.
So there's four guys all together. One of them stabs another. Yeah. The other two are witnesses. It's a mobile home or a motor home?
It's a mobile home in a mobile home park, and apparently it's some kind of a flop house for homeless guys.
Okay. All right.
So which makes me believe that the Walnut Mobile Home Park may not be your classiest of mobile home parks.
Or even really an actual park as such, because a mobile home park sort of denotes that there's an owner, right? That there's some guy named Smitty that runs the whole joint. You got to give him the rent every Tuesday.
There'll be a sign that'll say, here is this mobile home park.
Welcome to Shady Grove. And then there's just a bunch of, like, old guys, you know, puttering around talking about how they took lead at Anzio.
Yeah, but there are every possible degree of quality of mobile home parks. Like, there are some that it's like actually a neighborhood, and they have streets and curbs, and people treat their mobile homes like permanent residences and homes. They have gardens and stuff
really?
Like that. Oh, yeah.
Where are these places?
In the suburbs, mostly. Sometimes you'll see the thing, there'll be a sign that says garage sale, and then you go and you take a couple of turns, and next thing you know, you're in some weird neighborhood where there's nothing but mobile homes.
Okay, let's back up for a second. So a mobile home does or does not have wheels?
A mobile home, to be a mobile home, you must be able to tow it away if need be. So a lot of mobile homes are actually put into permanent rental spaces in these mobile home parks. They still have the tow bar, but they don't necessarily have the wheels on them. They're just like up on some kind of blocks or something.
So like a double wide is a mobile home because technically you could stick it on a truck and carry it down the road.
Right.
All right. Okay.
But a lot of times people buy them and they put them in these parks and they basically just live there permanently forever and it is their home. On the other hand, there's also places that are mobile home parks. Like there was one when I worked in Columbia County that's one in outside of Columbia City. And I had to go there to write a story about a man who had shot himself with a shotgun and then set his trailer on fire. And it was really just the seediest, creepiest place ever.
Whenever you use the word flop house, or whenever that story, that term comes up in a story, I get a very specific image in my mind. And it probably has no relation to reality. So at some point, I feel like I actually need to, you know, to find some excuse to go to one of these places like that, like the what's it that they just tore down downtown that they're gutting out because they're going to make it into that new McMenamin's place, which was a hotel for gentlemen, you know,
for traveling businessmen.
That's right. It was one of those like $20 a week places, and you just picture like the old timey sign and so this is hot showers, 5 cents. Which is probably not so much the case as it is just a place filled with needles.
My husband told me once that he actually slept in those hotels a couple of times in his youth.
Patrick. It was when he was
hopping
a tramp steamer.
Kind of. He got out of the army and he was drinking very heavily in those days. And he lived in Vancouver. And he would come into Vancouver and then just drink like all evening. And then he'd find himself like too drunk to get back to Vancouver. So a couple of nights he like stayed at the scary flophouse hotels. And I'm like, really? You could have been killed. What's wrong with you? But again, he's like, I don't know. I was 22. I didn't know anything. I was an idiot. And I was drinking.
Yeah, because if you're doing that over the age of 25, that's one of those things that indicates that you have some sort of an issue.
Yeah.
You need to be getting yourself in a semicircular position with some other guys in a basement somewhere.
Yeah, something wrong there. Speaking of alcohol, a rack of beer kegs collapsed and killed a man at a beer distributing plant in North Portland this morning. Portland Fire spokesman Paul Cora said paramedics were called to the Miletus Beverage on North Cutter Circle. At 4:41 a.m., crews pronounced the victim, who the medical examiner identified as 25-year-old Jeremy Judd, dead at the scene. The accident happened inside a cooler where kegs are stored, and an investigation is underway, according to a spokeswoman from OSHA. Dr. Larry Lumen with the Oregon State Medical Examiner's Office said Judd died of head injuries. The company is a major beer distributor in Oregon and Northwest Washington. Its main distribution plant sits on a 7-acre site at Mox Landing on Swan Island.
You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Don't forget, coming up later on this hour, entertainment news and science on the march. Next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program. Coming up today, we will be talking to Ms. Joelle Carter from the television program Justified, which returned to television last night on FX with the second season premiere. So that was last night on FX. She'll be on the Rick Emerson show next hour. Where the lovely actress Joelle Carter plays Ava Crowder on Justified. Also, do we actually have a Hick watch and a Democracy on the March next hour?
We have, no, I didn't update.
Are you the CNN of the...
I failed.
Of the ENN whiteboard?
We actually have a penis watch and a corpse watch.
Penis watch and a corpse watch. Excellent. Okay. Penis watch, corpse watch, and Justified's Joelle Carter are coming up next hour at RickEmersonShow.com. Here's Don Taylor.
Apparently, Representative Christopher Lee of New York, a Republican congressman, did not learn what they say is the first rule of Craigslist hookups. Don't use your first name.
And by the way,
I
saw this story last night, and I read it again this morning, and then we printed out these sound bites this morning, and I just now put together Representative Christopher Lee.
I know, Christopher Lee.
All right, so.
Saruman, or... Is he Saruman or Sauron? Which was he?
No, he's Saruman.
Saruman.
Sauron's just that big...
It's the eyeball.
The big sapphic-looking eye.
Glowy eyeball.
Yeah.
Okay. The married 46-year-old Republican representative from New York emailed a woman he found on Craigslist telling her that he was fit, fun, and classy.
You know, what's great, though, is I'm just picturing him like in his... I'm picturing him in his Count Dooku sort of, you know... So do you find me sexy? You know, and he's got purple, lightning bolts coming off of him.
Well, if you would like to see the photo that he emailed to the woman, by the way, I have uploaded it to rickemerson.com/pictures.
I'm sorry. Apparently, all the Count Dooku jokes have already been made.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can do. You know what he looks like in the photograph? He looks exactly like Gary Condit, who was the guy that they were putting the squeeze on about Chandra Levy until they found out that just like some homeless drifter did it or whatever. But I remember that Gary Condit was on TV all the time, and this guy, Christopher Lee, looks a lot like him in that sort of aging, slightly better looking than normal, but still sort of pathetic, bulgy white guy kind of way.
Well, here's the thing. He's not a bad looking man.
Sleazy photo, though.
Now, granted, he is married, so he is like looking to sneak around behind the wife's back. But the thing is, but there are women who go for sleazy. Sleazy guys get laid all the time.
Are there ever?
But the thing is, he's not an unattractive man.
No.
And he's a congressman.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He has to go trolling on Craigslist?
Well, and also apparently used like... He's just like one email address is used for everything, which is maybe a generational thing, because I can't imagine anybody under the age of like 35, say how old he is.
Well, here's the thing. He told the woman he was a fun, fit, and classy 39-year-old divorced lobbyist.
And he's 46.
He's 46, married, and a congressman.
Yeah, not so much a lobbyist.
And he used his real name, so she Googled him.
Oh, that's great.
And then said, oh, he lied to me about being married, and he lied about his age, and he's a congressman. So she did what any of us, I think, would do. She just forwarded the photo and the email and everything to Gawker.
Yeah.
Gawker published the emails and photos yesterday, and within hours, Lee had fallen on his sword. He said he regretted his profound mistakes, but the challenges we face in Western New York and across the country are too serious for me to allow this distraction to continue, and so I am announcing that I've resigned my seat in Congress effective immediately, which is a bit of a reversal from the first statement he issued to Gawker, which said the only time he or his wife posted something online was to sell furniture.
Now, in his defense, and I can't believe I'm saying this, he actually didn't post... he did not respond to Gawker personally that first time with that clearly false statement. He had an aide do it.
Oh, sure.
He had somebody from his office lie on his behalf. I think that is the. I think those are the lines of moral distinction that politicians, especially those who meddle in the sex lives of others, as he did, by the way, because he was in favor of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and he was also in favor of eliminating federal funding for abortion services and abortion counseling, not just here but abroad. So it's not like. it's not like the sex lives of other people didn't hold any interest for him, because they did.
Obviously.
As somebody once said, Republicans always want government to be just small enough to fit into your bedroom. Mm. So in any event, they catch him in this thing, and he says, through this mouthpiece aide of his, he says, no, the only time my wife and I have ever used that internet thing is to sell some lawn furniture or whatever. And then, like, 3 hours later, he's got this carefully prepared statement already, arriving everywhere and being sent to all of the news organizations. So you wonder, here's what I wonder, is between the three different events where Gawker contacts him and they say, hey now, what about this shirtless photo of you, Booby? And then the second event, which is him denying it and saying, I don't even know what that internet is. And then the third thing of him going, I have brought shame on, just like running out and shutting the door. Who got him in a room or called him and talked to him and said, you must do this now? And who was it and what did they say?
Yeah, because, well, the thing is, this comes less than a year after Democratic Congressman Eric Massa of New York resigned his seat during an investigation into whether he groped and tickled a staffer and then was wrestling with men and yeah. such at his 50th birthday party. Anyway, because no story like this is complete without the man in the street.
Awesome.
Here is one of Lee's constituents who says he was a good congressman who always kept people in his district up to date.
There'd be a message as to what he was doing and, you know, updating you on progress or whatever.
Did she call them messages? I think it's pronounced massages. He would give you massages about what he was doing.
There'd be a message as to what he was doing and, you know, updating you on progress or whatever. And for him to do something like this and throw it all away was sad.
Am I missing? Is she saying messages?
I think she's saying messages.
And right, but in other words,
she's saying
trying
messages,
to,
yes.
Okay, she is saying messages yeah. as messages.
Right.
And one more time.
There'd be a message as to what he was doing.
There'd be a messages to what he was doing.
There'd be a messages as to what he was doing, yes. This constituent says it's an unfortunate situation.
Really, we need qualified people in Congress to represent us. And, I mean, everybody makes mistakes, and nobody seems to be able to live with what they do.
Here's the thing. There's two ways to look at this. Either this is exactly the kind of politician you want in office because he's so dumb that he doesn't know how to cover his tracks, which means that if there's any sort of bribery or graft or corruption going on, you're almost certainly going to find out about it. Or this is the kind of guy you don't want in office because if the messages he is giving you indicate that he is working for you, that you are the constituent, he is the representative, and he is working on behalf of your city, you want him to be able to successfully engage in bribery and graft and corruption and backroom dealing and earmarking and pork barreling to benefit you, the citizen. And so you want a guy who really knows the ins and outs of the smoke-filled room and how to get away with things. You want a guy who knows how to grease the palms, so to speak. And this indicates that, you know, if he can't lie yeah. successfully enough to get laid on the internet, how is he going to lie successfully to bring jobs back to your district?
Yeah, he fails on so many levels, really.
There's no good way to look at this.
No,
you lose. No. Fail.
So a little breaking news on the Egypt thing.
Okay, wait, hold on a second. Where's the breaking news? Hold on. I pressed the breaking news thing and everything just stopped. There we go.
The top trending topic on Twitter right now is reasons Mubarak is late, whereas people on Twitter are opining why Mubarak has not begun his announcement yet. Among the suggestions, because Mubarak is waiting for Hasselhoff. He thinks the crowd in Tahrir are there to support him. He's busy sending a shirtless picture to Craigslist. There you go. Reasons Mubarak is late is, somebody else. He's waiting for April Fool's Day.
Okay.
So there we go.
You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget, coming up next hour at RickEmersonShow.com, the Rick Emerson radio program. Today we have a corpse watch coming up. Penis watch?
Yes, a penis
also
watch.
Penis watch. And Ms. Joelle Carter from the television program Justified, which began its second season last night on FX. Here is Don Taylor.
An injured man who had just crashed his car in a hospital parking lot was forced to wait for an ambulance because of hospital procedure, according to Portland police. An officer who had been investigating a possible DUI near Portland Adventist Hospital was flagged down early Thursday morning by someone who had just witnessed the crash. The witness told the officer a man had crashed his car into a light pole in the hospital parking lot. The officer responded to the crash scene and found the man unresponsive. Sergeant Pete Simpson said the driver had apparently suffered a medical condition not associated with the crash. When the officer ran into the hospital and asked for help, he was told he needed to call an ambulance. The crash was approximately 100 yards from the hospital, but the victim could not be processed without following standard ambulance protocol. The officer performed CPR for 6 minutes while waiting for the ambulance to arrive. Simpson said the officer would be considered for a life-saving medal. By the way, I've had two major operations in my life. One was at Good Sam in Northwest Portland, and one was at Adventist.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, Adventist is not someplace you want to spend any time.
This is
a
place to avoid, in your opinion.
From my brief few days that I spent there, if you have an option of any other hospital, choose elsewhere.
Or just fixing it at home with a fish scaler.
Yeah. In what looks like an attempt to overcome bad publicity from the lawsuit that claims that the meat Taco Bell uses only contains 36% beef, the fast food franchise is now offering the world's largest taco giveaway on Facebook.
Awesome. I'm completely won over.
Apparently, 10 million people who like Taco Bell on Facebook will be gifted with a free taco.
Really? Just one?
Yeah, one free taco.
Just one free taco.
But they're giving away 10 million of them.
Well,
Taco Bell has run ads in major newspapers countering the lawsuit by stating that their taco meat actually contains 88% beef.
Now, here's the thing about this. Now, I can hear the inflection in your tone, which, if I'm identifying it correctly, it is somewhere in the vicinity of sarcasm, or as Joe Seneca would say, a not believing what they be speaking tone of voice. Now, here's the thing about it, though, is that I'm not saying that I know the truth of this story, but that's, I think, the point is that this is one of those stories that I find really tantalizing because nobody quite does. Did you see the ad campaign that Taco Bell ran in response to this?
No, I didn't.
What was really brilliant about it is it was out and in papers like 36 hours later. So that story came out, which was just repeated everywhere, where we said, hey, the lawsuit said their tacos are like 33% meat. And they actually, within 24 hours online, within 36 hours in newspapers and on television, they had an ad campaign, and it just started in huge letters. It filled the screen, and it said, thank you for suing us. And below that, it had the Taco Bell letter, the Taco Bell logo. So it said, thanks for suing us, and it had the Taco Bell logo. And then it said, thanks for suing us because it gives us the chance to actually counter allegations that have swirled around Taco Bell and other restaurants for years by anti-fast food activists and blah, 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 blah. And then they in the newspaper, at least on the next page, they laid out in huge bullet points what they claimed the actual composition of the meat product in their taco was. And the guy did the same on the television where he said that it was like 82% meat and like 7% water and then like 10% spices and crap and like the other one and like 2% bonding agent. And that's interesting to me because that is, I believe, what the government would call an actionable and provable falsehood if it's not true. So you got on one hand the lawsuit that says it's 33%, and then they got the guy from Taco, and he was like the president or the CEO or something of the Yum Corporation, whoever it is that owns that. And it was
Yum Corporation,
which is great. And he was saying it was like 80-something percent. And you got to figure that that's not like they're close enough that they could both be right somehow. Yeah. That's an either-or thing. So now I really want to see, like, I actually want to see it go to court and see it progress because I want to know who's right. It doesn't seem like both of those things can be correct. So I am reserving judgment. Because
you are right, Rick Emerson. I was wrong to just immediately assume.
Oh no, I
Taco Bell was
well.
in the wrong.
It was understandable why you would assume that because I just swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. I went along with it, and I'm not saying it's not true, but I'm saying it seems like that is a one or the other kind of scenario. Unless the guy's just using some sort of weird squirrely Hollywood math where Forrest Gump never made any money or whatever, and that's how he's arriving. You know, at the 88% figure or whatever it is. So it's that'll be a thing that I watch with great interest.
Let's do our science.
But also, I got to register for a free taco later on today. Don't let me let me forget that. Let's see. Here's your science on the march. for Thursday. Brought to you by Squires Electric here at Legion of News at Cascadia.fm. Here is Don Taylor.
Well, if you're listening to this fine program, odds are good that you have a computer or an iPhone or an Android or some other device. But actually, 7 out of 10 people around the world have no access to the internet.
Or bastards.
That's about 5 billion people, according to the group A Human Right, whose mission is to improve the human condition by advocating for and safeguarding global access to information as a human right. To address the discrepancy, founder Costa Gramatis wants to buy a TerraStar 1 communication satellite from TerraStar, which filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy in 2010.
Is TerraStar?
TerraStar, T-E-R-R-E, star.
Okay.
The effort is called Buy This Satellite and has three phases. In phase one, the group wants to raise $150,000 to finalize a business plan, get legally organized, and submit a bid and hire engineers. In phase two, the group will, among other things, submit an official bid for the satellite, develop an open-source modem, and acquire an orbital slot. And in phase three, the group will move the satellite into new orbit over partner countries and just roll out free internet service. Although Human Right has talked with folks from TerraStar, there's no final price tag on the satellite. The $150,000 will get everything started, but the ultimate cost will likely to be much higher.
Don't you think we should poll these countries and ask if they'd rather have food?
Well, yeah.
I don't mean to be pedantic about it.
Well, yeah, many of them, of course, would prefer food. But at the same time, though,
like living in a mud hole in the ground,
they also could use, access to information.
I think food is probably higher on the list. Definitely. I'm just saying. I mean, everybody's got their own interests, but it's not interesting. I guess it's not exciting to give people
It's not one or the other.
Beans or something.
I mean, there are people who are working on the food thing, and then you got these people working on the internet thing.
Okay.
Anyway, so there you go.
I'm just saying, doesn't it require a computer? And doesn't that require, having some sort of money or at least a gun?
I'm just sharing.
I'm saying if the country is sufficiently poor that they don't have internet access, what are the odds that the guy sitting at home with a MacBook just waiting for a guy? Oh, if only I had a link up somehow. I have no bars. I mean, it seems like that they're solving this from the wrong side. I'm trying to figure out, because if there's no internet access in the country, why would the people even have computers at this point? It's not like they make standalone computers it's not like computers are manufactured now the way they were in 1981, where you're going to use, Alan Alda's going to show you how to use it at home for your banking or something. Computers are made now to be internet accessible.
Yeah.
But then
you still have to pay for internet access, and even the internet access that is available might be wonky, and it could be, depending on the economic conditions of the country, it could be well beyond the means of regular folks.
Okay, this could be a country where perhaps they are, where perhaps they have the food thing taken care of, or at least they're on their way to handling it, and maybe they've got a lower number of computers, and so it's like a communal thing. And yet they don't have sufficient internet access.
Right.
Okay. All right. I could see that.
Okay.
See, that almost makes sense. See, we got to the bottom of that, Don. Who says there's no common ground here?
Speaking of the internets and smartphones and such, the Verizon iPhone goes on sale across the country today. And anxious customers who didn't pre-order their phones are braving chilly East Coast temperatures to line up and buy them. According to Verizon, the phone has generated more demand than any of their previous smartphones. The lines apparently are not too bad in New York or Boston, even though people started showing up at 5 a.m. in below 20-degree weather. In sunnier climes, the Orlando Sentinel posted a photo of a woman who showed up 15 hours ahead of time to get her phone. But while today's launch doesn't seem to be as big a deal as the new Apple product, a new Apple product release, the New York Times reports that Verizon iPhone will have a big impact in North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, and Wyoming, which are states that AT&T doesn't service. So after today, there will be iPhones in the Great Plains states, and they will be Verizon phones.
And this is really, whatever anybody thinks about the iPhone or about Apple, and certainly it's a polarizing company. It's strange because Apple used to be, I don't know when this happened. Apple used to be a company that everybody sort of agreed on, even if it was just in theory. People who didn't use Apple products, or people who were on Windows, or people who just, who didn't have an iPhone or whatever, everybody at least they would stop at some point in the conversation to say, well, look, I mean, they make great products and everything, but it's just, you know, financially beyond what I'm able to do right now. Or, you know, they're servicing the art and creative market. And, you know, I'm more business and finance, so Mac's not really for me. Great product, though. And then at some point in the last 18 months, everybody joined either the Apple rules or the Apple sucks camp. And now there is...
There's
no middle ground.
I remember that when that was the case, though, for a long time. Anyway, it was when the Macintosh first, you know, started gaining hold, there was a very strong feeling, particularly around your hardcore nerds, that the Apple was just too simple. That it was like, it was just too easy.
If it doesn't break all the time, it can't possibly. If the drivers don't outdate themselves every now and again.
Yeah, and then of course, a lot of Mac people just thought that, you know, Microsoft just wasn't as cool.
What do you mean I don't have to fix the DLL files twice a day? Yeah. What kind of fun is that?
So,
regardless of what anybody thinks about that, this is why, this is why it continues to be such a huge deal, because there is... I mean, can you think offhand of another electronic? Can you think of any electronic product not manufactured by Apple that people have actually lined up for at 5 in the morning? A piece of electronics.
Well, gaming systems.
That's true. There's the Xbox.
Yeah.
There's the Xbox. There's like the PlayStation. So that's a fair point. Okay. So I guess there's the video game market, so they've kind of got... But that's the thing you need, is because video game people are the same way. It's like Xbox people all look down at Wii people, and Wii people look down at everybody. And PlayStation people just... I don't know what they do, because I don't know any of them. PlayStation? You? Anything?
I had a PlayStation 2 for a while. That was my gaming system.
That's one of those systems
but
that
I
people...
I outgrew it very quickly.
It's like people were... Remember there was that time when people actually were lining up, I guess, for the... It was either the PlayStation 2 or the PlayStation 3... Which one was the one? What was the one like 2-3 years ago that people were?
I think it was a 3 because that's the one that has the DVD player and stuff in it.
Yeah, and so that was the thing that people were, you know, they were all really excited about. But I don't think I actually know anybody who has one. It seems to people seem to have they seem to be like the libertarian party of the of the whole joint. Everything else is split up among Wii and Xbox. But there's a lot of dedication there, a lot of loyalty, and Apple seems to be the only phone/computing company that really has that. People lined up for Windows 95. I remember that. All right, well, in any event. You are listening to Science in the March here at Legion of News. This is Don Taman.
New research raises concern about diet soda finding higher risks for stroke and heart attack among people who drink it every day versus those who drink no soda at all. The beverage findings should be a wake-up call to pay attention to diet sodas, said Dr. Steven Greenberg. He's a Harvard Medical School neurologist and vice chairman of the International Stroke Conference in California, where the research was presented yesterday. A simple solution, health experts say, is to drink water. Doctors have no chemical or biological explanation as to why diet soda may be risky. It could be that people who drink lots of it also fail to exercise, weigh more, drink more alcohol, or have other risk factors like high blood pressure and smoking.
I'm sorry, what was the nature of the risk?
High risk for stroke and heart attack among people who drink diet soda every day.
Well,
they haven't found a direct causality.
Could it have something to do with the fact that every time I see somebody ordering a diet soda, it's because they're ordering 5 pounds of onion rings? I mean, I never see anyone ordering like a modestly sized meal and a diet soda. Someone who orders a modestly sized meal, in my experience anyway, this is just from the anecdotal evidence, is either not getting soda at all or they are getting a regular soda, but a smallish one. It's about tends to be about portions. Diet soda, in my experience, tends to be consumed by people who are also having like 9 flank steaks, and a bowl of cheese.
I guess. I mean, I don't drink sugared sodas at all. So even if I am eating a modest-sized meal, I will have a diet soda.
I wish everybody could see the look of smug self-satisfaction that's on your face right now. It really is priceless.
There was a report on MSNBC.com that suggested the possibility is that there's something in the caramel coloring agent that gives cola its dark color that could be connected to the health risk. But nobody really knows. But anyway, just in case you're interested, apparently people who drink diet soda are at a higher risk of heart attacks, even though they don't know why, or even if they don't even know if it has anything to do with the diet soda itself.
Well,
thank you, science.
Someone says, I am completely suing Diet Pepsi for my wife's stroke, whether it contributed to it or not. Well done, sir.
Why not?
All right. Of course, he also just noted, hey, if they had the internet, they could order pizza. You're listening to Science on the March here at Legion of News, right here on Cascadia.fm. You can also get this program later on the day via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download if that's your fancy. Here's Don Taylor.
That's all the science.
Really? Are we the end of science? Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Rick Emerson, the end of science. Science on the March brought to you by Squires Electric. Thank you for listening to this fine program, and Squires Electric helps to make it possible. You can contact them at 503-252-1609 or squireselectric.com. It is squireselectric.com or 503-252-1609. Whether you are looking at getting the wiring in your home updated, installed, transmogrified, morphed into something else, or whether it's at your business, or whether you're just getting it inspected once a year because, you know, you got the man who's going to be coming through, or you just want to make sure the whole place just doesn't, just become an inferno at some point during the night. Squires Electric, they are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors. And, of course, as we have mentioned on the Rick Emerson show several times, when people go to take, you know, it's like passing the bar when you become a licensed. When you become a licensed electrical supervisor, 97% of the people fail that test. Joe Squires, is it redundant to say that he is the titular head of Squires Electric?
No.
He's the owner, the founder of Squires Electric. Passed it first time out.
The eponymous Squires Electric.
Is that the right word, eponymous? I always thought it was homonymous.
No, eponymous. It means that something is named after
itself.
You. Yes.
That it's sort of it's got a reflexiveness to the naming.
Yes.
All right. Well, in any event, Joe Squires is the owner, operator, maven, and overlord of Squires Electric, and you can contact that fine company at squireselectric.com or 503-252-1609. No job too small or too large, and there are free estimates up top, so you know about what you are going to pay. Squireselectric.com. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, they can make your life easier. They are the proud sponsors of Science on the March here at Legion of News. Here is Don Taylor.
Two Indiana men were arrested Saturday when police went looking for a man accused of painting a dog pink in West Terre Haute. Detective Teddy York of the West Terre Haute Police testified Monday in Superior Court that police were called about 7 p.m. Saturday by a woman who reported someone had painted her white 8-year-old dog pink. The woman said the paint had rubbed off onto her furniture and vehicle, and she requested a trespass warning be issued for a person that she suspected. York said the police found that the suspect, Robert Carter, 19, had an active warrant for his arrest, so officers went to his residence. When police knocked at an upstairs apartment, a man who officers identified as Carter peeked through a window and asked police to wait a minute. When officers knocked again, the door was opened by Quentin Brady, 22. York stated that Brady allegedly said Carter was not at the residence, but because the officers had seen him, they entered the residence and searched for him. Carter was found hiding under blankets on an outside balcony. Brady was arrested for assisting a criminal, which is a Class D felony. He was released from jail on his own recognizance. On Monday, Judge Don Roach found probable cause for Brady's arrest, ordered him to return to court Thursday for formal charges. They also alleged that he took electronics and other items from a person on January 18th, which I guess was a separate incident from painting some woman's dog pink.
Is there a motivation ascribed to him for this?
No.
Okay.
No, apparently he's
an idiot.
He's just an idiot and a hooligan.
Here's the thing about it is if the cops saw him,
Wait, hold on a minute. And they went, tell them I'm not here.
It's not like, it's not like he was on the 50th floor. If they were able to see him, it's like he was on maybe the second or the third floor. And what does he do? He just hides in the balcony as opposed to, you know, just like going out the back.
Under some blankets.
Yeah, scaling down the fire escape.
It was the second floor. If he really wanted to escape, he probably would have jumped. He might have twisted his ankle or something, but he could have gone for it.
Stash myself under this quilt.
They'll never look under here.
They'll never suspect I'm under the afghan. I'll breathe real shallow-like.
So, apparently, you might not be surprised to find this out, huffing is not illegal in the state of Georgia.
Okay.
Leaders in Lee County, Georgia, say it's dangerous, and they want a law on their local books to try and prevent it.
How would the law read? How exactly would you outlaw huffing?
Well, there's an ordinance that lists 30 substances, from hairspray to canned whipped cream, which it would be illegal to inhale.
Really?
Yes.
They're
going
to make it illegal to breathe certain things.
Well, it is illegal to sniff glue in Georgia. But it has not been... There's no law in Georgia that calls for punishment against huffing other vapors. So Lee County Sheriff Reggie Rachels... Rachels told a commission that he supports the measure because he's seen cases where it's going on inside of stores.
Uh-huh.
Now, of course, keep in mind, this is Georgia. It's going on in local stores like Walmart, where they're taking the canisters of whatever they may want to huff, emptying the can out in the store, then placing it back up on the shelf.
Well, that's a
thing. So it's been a problem.
That's a thing I don't doubt. Well, you've worked in kitchens. It's like you go and you're trying to put something, you're trying to, you know, trying to get the something for the creme brulee, and all the Ready Whip is just empty. And like meanwhile, the sous chef is just walking around with like all glassy eyed and smiley.
Rarely the sous chef, more likely the prep cook. Really. Apparently, huffing in Georgia is very popular among kids 12 to 17. They say it can cause hallucinations, delusions, and even sudden cardiac death.
Sounds awesome.
And there's a list of what would be the banned substances, including various automobile fluids, model glue for assembling planes and cars, rubber cement, nail polish remover, correction fluid, lighter fluid, gasoline. Who loves gasoline? Hairspray aerosols, fabric protector aerosols, cooking spray, degreasers. A whole list of things.
I just wonder, I have so many questions about this. First of all, I got to wonder, as you just said, who is huffing gasoline? I mean, it's not like you're just at the, like if you're at the Shell station, you're pumping it and you know, whatever, it's like in the air and you're smelling it. Anyway, how do they delineate, I mean, what is the difference between that and actual huffing? Is there like a number of inhalations that one may not pass? Is it that if your face is within
intent,
6 inches of the can?
Intent to use it as an intoxicant.
How do you establish that?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, what if you're just standing by your car as a plausible sort of, no, I'm getting ready to pour it in.
And then you get woozy.
Yeah. And you're like, no, I was overcome by the fumes. It was all sort of, it's all a blur to me, officer, because or you're going to get a guy who's just sort of posing by the lawnmower with the gas can as he's sort of getting a sniff on. Here's the other thing about this, though, it seems like if you're the kind of idiot that's just going to sit around and just be inhaling, like Krylon paint out of a paper bag, probably, you wouldn't follow the law even if you knew that it existed. You're also not going to know it exists because you don't really spend a lot of time watching the news or keeping up on current events.
Especially if the problem is 12 to 17-year-olds.
Yeah, because they're real interested in watching, watching laws be put into place. And,
well, the next step after that, of course, would be a public information campaign where you have, like, Jimmy the anti-huffing beaver or something who goes around to schools to, come on, kids. Huffing is bad.
Should be the anti-huffing beaver. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go write a jingle for him right now. Lastly, if you really are desperate enough to get high, I don't care. Rick Emerson doesn't care about that. I don't pay that. No, never mind. But if you are desperate enough to get high that you're huffing, for example, liquid paper, I almost feel like you ought to be able to. That's like if you can run that gauntlet. Olfactorily speaking, you ought to be able to do it because I don't know when the last time you smelled liquid paper was. But they put an additive in liquid paper now. It's like snorting fire.
Well, I remember I did a temp job once. A friend got me a temp job in an office many years ago. I think I was about 19. And it wasn't the liquid paper, but there was my liquid paper that was provided for me was really old, so it was getting kind of gummy. And so one of the ladies there gave me the liquid paper thinner that you add to the liquid paper. And I took the lid off of that and I went, holy crap.
Yeah.
And I just went, woo. And I went to my friend. I was like, this stuff. And so for the next 3 days, every once in a while, we would take the thinner out of it and take it and sit there and just go, whoa.
No.
Ow, and then put it back. Because, that stuff.
The thinner is like, it's like some unbelievable, it's like some exponentially stronger nail polish remover. That you put in there, to de-gunk. And here's why I know that, because when I was a kid, I forget why, but I wanted some, like, whiteout to take to school or something. And so my mom, like, dropped me, took me to Payless or whatever and sat at the whitey school and sat in the car and I went inside and bought it. But I was like, I don't know, I was like 7 or 8. And I didn't read the package clearly enough. And so the teacher had told us to bring some whiteout to school and I bought the thinner by mistake. And there was this weird morning in class where I couldn't figure out why I couldn't get the ink to cover up because I was just sitting there dribbling the thinner onto the page because I wasn't quite sure how the whole thing worked. And man, I just remember that my head was just, I was like doing figure eights in my brain by the end of that day's class.
Yeah, you kids today who do everything on your computers and don't use typewriters, you don't know about the liquid paper and the...
Invented by who?
The wooziness. Mike Nesmith of the Monkey's Mother.
There you go. Well done.
Yes.
Yeah, but they put this stuff into liquid paper now specifically to keep you from sniffing. It. And it is exactly, you know what it's like if you take a bottle of liquid paper now and you sniff it? It is exactly what you and I both experienced when we sniffed smelling salts.
Oh.
Seriously, it is like someone put fire ants up your nose.
Oh, well, okay.
It's a bad scene. This guy says, F that, I want a huffing beaver. A huffing beaver!
Where's my huffing beaver? Jimmy the huffing beaver.
I imagine in the usual place.
Where was he last? Where'd you see him? Okay, a government report finds there were no electrical malfunctions or problems in Toyota vehicles, which caused several cases of unintended acceleration, explains Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood.
If that's your real name.
The jury is back. The verdict is in. There is...
I end all my sentences with prepositions.
The jury is back.
Sounds so happy.
The verdict is in. There is no electronic-based cause for unintended high-speed acceleration in Toyotas.
Transportation Secretary...
Sorry.
Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood is a man who doesn't get to speak publicly very often, does he?
No, but he practices it in front of a mirror all the time at home when he's not singing into a hairbrush.
So he's just going to milk it for every moment he gets in the public eye.
I bet his wife hates him.
LaHood says the problems had to do with mechanics, not the electronic system.
Our conclusion is this. Toyota's problems were mechanical, not electrical.
Well, what... What do you care if you're crashing, like, through a building somewhere, if you're going off a bridge? What does it matter to you what caused the problems? He's the transportation secretary?
He's the transportation secretary.
So he doesn't work for Toyota?
No. He works for you, Rick Emerson. He works for the government.
So why does he sound so smug and triumphant here when he's saying that the problems were not electronic? Like, what difference does it make?
I have no idea. I think he's just really poor at public speaking.
It seems like if your car goes into a wall, probably what caused it is, I mean, that's question like 70, right after Where Are My Lungs?
Well, it's not even like, you know, Toyota's off the hook if it's a mechanical problem rather than an electronic problem.
No, it seems like if the car isn't work. If you're driving along and you're going 40 miles an hour and suddenly you're going 70 and you didn't ask the car to go 70, that seems to be important above and beyond whatever may have caused that.
It's like you're saying, aha, no, I did not kill you with a knife. I killed you with an ice pick.
Yeah.
The jury is back. The verdict is in.
Yeah. You know, he's thinking that this is going to lead to some sort of an ongoing gig on Geraldo Live.
Or with Toyota. He's already trying to line up
his
cushy lobbying position with Toyota after he leaves office.
You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program fills your ears with tasty, tasty nougat. Also, entertainment. We've got the Snuffwatch coming up next hour. I'm sorry, is it a Snuffwatch or a Corpse Watch?
A Corpse Watch.
My fault. The Corpse Watch, also a Penis Watch. We'll also talk to Ms. Joelle Carter of the television program Justified, which began its second season last night on FX. Here is Don Taylor.
Let's do that entertainment, shall we?
Here's your entertainment news for Thursday.
TMZ reports that Charlie Sheen wants to cover a third of the salaries of the unemployed crew members for Two and a Half Men if CBS and Warner Brothers agree to pony up the rest of the bill. Sheen's latest stab at rehab led to a temporary shutdown of Two and a Half Men, but Sheen wants to return to work next week. I mean, come on. You know, it's like the cost of one suitcase full of cocaine for him.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have a little bit of breaking news here.
Oh.
Hold on. We have breaking Mubarak news. Hold on a second. Let me just... All right. So this from Chief of Staff Cheryl Kanakoa. Breaking news. So...
Yes, apparently he...
He will be running again in September. He is not stepping down. He will be... I swear to God, it says this. He is not stepping down. He will be running again this September.
Yes, he's quoted as saying, "I will respond to your demands and your voices, and this is a commitment that cannot be reversed. I am committed to carrying out my promises in all credibility."
No, wait. So am I misreading this? Okay, now she's correcting. Okay, no, he will not run. He is not running.
Oh, okay,
I'm sorry. I'm conflating two sentences here. He will not be running in September.
Okay.
Okay. So he is not stepping down, but he will not be running again in September.
All right.
Well, that's less exciting. I was hoping he would run again in September.
Now, what would be exciting now is if the crowd just turns on him.
Now, see, now I don't even know what I'm repeating. All right, yeah. So he will not be running again in September. Also, but he's going to stick it out until then. So we're now what? We're in February, so we got March, April, May, June. So do we have like 6 more months of amusement? to look forward to? Okay. But yes, we'll not be running. Okay, so yeah, that was me. I got that completely wrong. We'll not be running again in September, but we'll also not be leaving now, which is...
Well, the thing is, let's see how angry it makes those people. That's a photograph of what it looks like there. If you go to CNN's website, you will see a photograph of what it looks like in Tahrir Square right now. And
from inside the mind of Lenny Riefenstahl.
Yeah.
Jesus. Well, so how is this different than what it was like an hour ago? Because an hour ago, we were at the same place, right? Because he said like a couple weeks back, he's like, well, look, I'm not going to quit. I mean, I won't run again, but I'm not going to quit. F that. I'm already here. So now he's basically just saying, all that stuff I said last week, still the case.
It seems sort of a bad idea to say you're going to give a statement and get like all these like tens of thousands of people who don't like you in one place and then basically show up to go, yeah, I'm not leaving.
Yeah, what I said. Infinity.
Yeah.
All right, so there you go. So I guess he's just telling people that the status quo as it existed last week is going to continue to be the status quo.
Yeah.
Not quitting, not going to run again.
All right.
She says, it's not different. He's basically just being a dick. Wouldn't you love to see somebody come on television and just say that?
Well, Mubarak is just being a dick.
President Mubarak continues to be a complete and total a-hole this afternoon.
If Anderson
awesome.
Cooper would say that,
yeah.
that would be just great, because he could do anything, I think.
Well, because he's sassy.
Yeah. Well, last week, the Los Angeles City Council moved to force porn actors to use condoms, reports the New York Times. City legislators voted to draft a trailblazing ordinance after a health clinic that served the multi-billion-dollar industry closed in December. A city councilman said, we can't keep our heads in the sand any longer. These people should be using condoms, period.
Is that code for something?
Until now, the San Fernando Valley's thriving porn industry has been allowed to operate without government safety standards. The nonprofit clinic that tested performers for HIV helped stave off regulation, and porn producers said the self-regulation system was working. But the LA Health Department reports that sexually transmitted disease runs rampant in the adult entertainment community. AIDS activists say it's time for the government to regulate the industry. The president of the AIDS Healthcare Foundation said testing just acts as a fig leaf for producers who suggest it is a reasonable substitute for condoms, which it is not. So the city worries it doesn't have the money to enforce condom use, and producers who say that only unprotected sex sells are dead set against it. One talent agent for sex film performer said, I tried many years ago to get everybody to go to condoms. Quite a few companies did, but sales fell severely. The switch would be very difficult.
You know, this is not Rick Emerson's America, in which they are going to legislate such things. That is not a country which I would have lived on.
Would you legislate the porn?
No, I would not. Well, look, I mean, the porn. If you were to rank, I mean, if you were to, they do that thing every year, the world's most dangerous jobs. When is the last time you saw porn on that list?
No.
Never. I mean, they're just jobs. Every job comes with certain risks. I run the risk of a severe and substantial paper cut every single day sitting behind this microphone. So they do that thing every year where OSHA puts out, you know, these are the most dangerous jobs in the world. And it's like number one is working on a fishing boat. And number two is always being like a lumberjack. And number three is being like a taxi driver, in the Bronx or something. And then there's all the usual suspects on there. There's like, you know, firefighter and police officer. And porn actress and porn actor are never on the list. They're not in the top 50. I would imagine they're probably not in the top 100. So it does seem like this is a little bit of cherry picking. You'll pardon the phrase.
Yeah, I literally have no idea how I feel about this subject.
Yes, you do.
I really don't.
Yes, because you're for less government. Because you're for the government leaving you alone. And if you don't want to use a rubber in your private life, and if you don't want to use a rubber in your private life when someone happens to be filming you, then that's the same thing. It's your body.
I guess, but philosophically, I also know that an awful lot of people watch porn, and if they saw people using condoms in porn, if it became the norm, then people might be, you know, a little bit more accommodating of the condoms in their real life.
I think of the idea that if
on the other hand, though, it's fantasy, and you should be able to watch whatever kind of fantasy you want to watch. And if you don't want to watch people wearing condoms, I have no idea how I feel about this.
Yes, but you do, though. That's the thing. I mean, because there is, you do, because if you were to follow this train of thought logically in your head, there is no logical or rational reason for believing that the government ought to legislate what people do in the bedroom, even if it's being filmed. And you know what? And no one should be able to force you to have sex without a condom. You know, in other words, nobody could force you to go and have unsafe sex with a guy. Why should they be able to force you to have safe sex?
You are probably right.
I am right. And also, by the way, I am right, and you'll come to that realization later on tonight. About like 6 or 7 o'clock, you'll go, by God, what a fool I've been.
I'm not sure after the show is over I'm going to be thinking about this anymore.
I'm just
honestly saying.
Well, I could, whatever.
Send me a text message about those condoms. Porn.
But, and here's the other thing. The idea that if you're going to fill porn films full of latex, and so then, you know, suddenly people are just going to go, Mike, you're totally right. I should be wearing more condoms. If the idea that if you have sex with the wrong person without a condom, you're going to end up in bed weighing 45 pounds and covered in sores, if that's not, like, enough to sort of dissuade you, the idea that you saw Jenna Jameson using one probably isn't going to work either.
Okay.
I'm just saying. And people don't really, and plus, let's be honest, like, if you just meet some skank at the bar who's going to do you in the back alley, people don't really sit and think through that process logically anyway. It's not like they have some sort of a, you know, it's not like in Vegas where you take out the laminated card in your inside pocket to figure out where to hit or stand on 17.
Oh, I have one more breaking news night. This from Associated Press. Mubarak says he will lift hated emergency laws when the security situation permits. So apparently, rather than going to total martial law, he's going to actually do the opposite and lift a bunch of the laws.
The laws don't really seem to be working all that well anyway, seeing as how people keep setting tanks on fire and turning stuff over.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was that.
So Egypt is going to continue to entertain us for quite some time.
Uh-huh.
All right.
So that's it.
Egypt? Me? No. No, see, it doesn't really work. I can't find a way to make that. No, I got nothing. All right, well, it's time to do this. That is to bring the curtain down on another exciting episode of Legion of News, which comes to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
At the news desk, Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Aglow, chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa. The Rick Emerson Show comes up next hour at rickemersonshow.com. Today featuring a corpse watch, also penis watch, and Ms. Joelle Carter of the television program Justified. Don't forget, this program is available later on today via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or LegionofNews.com and on your mobile device, mobile.cascadia.fm. We will see you again tomorrow, that is Friday at noon, for another exciting episode of Legion of News. Have a safe and satisfying Thursday, won't you? Won't you?
Emerson Show begins shortly. Keep listening. This is the Emerson News Network.